You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Let's walk the talk.
702.
702, let's walk the talk. Thabo Shola Mashao in for Clement Panyatela till 12 o'clock. And we are breaking from what we were discussing and moving to other issues now. And those issues have got to do with education. If you saw the newspaper yesterday, we learned that the private school associations were very angry at the legal opinion by the Department of Education that declared different curricula offered by independent schools illegal. So the legal opinion from the Department of Education was that the curriculum offered by some of the private schools was illegal, meaning that it's not curriculum that is consistent with what Department of Basic Education would like children to learn, and they are on the wrong side of the law. And this really angered them because the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor stated that the legal opinion that schools following a curriculum other than the National Curriculum Statement, which is NCS, were breaking the laws. Those not following government's prescribed curriculum and assessment policy statements, they could be on the wrong side of the law. But they are not just having that easy. Chairman of National Alliance of Independent Schools Association, Mandla Mthembu, joins us to discuss this and a little bit more. Chair, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to 702.
Hello, good morning to you, Thabo. Good morning to your listeners. I'm the deputy chair of NAISA, and I'm happy that you joined. I mean, you have asked us to come and comment on this issue.
Thanks for the correction there. The issue that needs more correction is this one of curriculum. One would say, what is wrong with the department saying that every single child in South Africa who goes to a school under our flag must follow one single curriculum? It doesn't seem too unfair, does it?
Indeed, indeed. But let me just try to put it right. It's not like we are angry. We are disturbed, really, at the very core of our being by such an opinion. And again, let's underline this. It's an opinion which is based on the interpretation of legislation. After 28 years of democracy, suddenly we are told that we may be illegal in this country, which is just ridiculous in a way. But nevertheless, let's go to the issue. The core issue is that as independent schools, we have the right of existence enshrined in our constitution, section 29, subsection 3, which clearly states that everyone has the right to establish and maintain their own expense independent educational institutions.
Mm-hmm.
As long as those institutions do not discriminate on the basis of race, and they are registered with the state, and they maintain standards that are not inferior to standards that are offered in comparable public educational institutions. That is our right. That's number one. Number two, for the opinion to even go as far as saying that we may be illegal, the opinion does not appreciate the Bill of Rights, Chapter 2 of our Constitution. Section 15 of the Constitution declares that all persons, including parents, have the right to freedom of conscience, religion, philosophy, thought, and belief and opinion.
Mm.
And Section 51 of our Constitution, Thabo, also protects the rights of members of this country to their own cultural, religious, linguistic communities, philosophy, to practice their culture and belief systems as they want.
Mr. Mthembu, I don't think that's a point of dispute at all. I think maybe, let me ask you in a different way. What is wrong with NCS, National Curriculum Statement, that you do not want to have distributed, disseminated in your classrooms? What is it about NCS and CAPS that really you feel that is not good enough for your children?
Actually, it's not to say there's something wrong with CAPS, but it's us having the very same freedom that I was talking about. To be able to teach our children according to the philosophies and belief systems that we have as parents, which is our right in the Constitution.
How does CAPS stop you from doing that?
Okay, The CAPS curriculum, Thabo, prescribes, number one, the content that needs to be taught in each grade, in each subject. Number two, it prescribes the sequencing of that content. It prescribes also the pacing of that content. It also prescribes the assessment of that content. We feel that is very restrictive in that we are unable to provide education the way we see it. For example, if you were to look at how the different philosophies approach education, you come to realize that even in our own doing, the way we approach education, we still meet the we are able to meet the minimum outcomes of the CAPS curriculum at each grade or each phase. We do that. And at the end of the day, our schools, which follow different philosophies and also belief systems like accelerated Christian education, like Waldorf schools, like Montessori schools, we are able to demonstrate at the end of grade 12 that our kids, even in the way they've been taught, they are able to pass matric. Waldorf schools, for example, have been passing matric 100% every year. Suddenly they are not good. Come on, my brother.
No, but I mean, that being the case, it could also be a bone of contention. More so if then the majority of the learners in the country are exposed to one curriculum, it could be said that you are disadvantaging those few privileged who come to your schools simply because then they will be out of kilter with what the Department of Education intends to achieve through the dissemination of curriculum. Is there, here's the main question. Is the crux of the matter here religion more than anything else, that as you have been quoted to say that you won't stop teaching the word of God in your schools? Is that the main issue?
Well, it's not so much the main issue as such, but it is more about us extending our freedom to teach our children the way we want to as our basic human right. That's number one. Number two, when I was quoting the word of God, it was more specific to do with ACE, Accelerated Christian Education.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's one of the things that is central to the curriculum that we offer, that our children are taught values and character traits as enshrined in the Bible, in the word of God. Waldorf and also Montessori have their own philosophical foundations, which are very integral to the way in which they provide education. And at the end of the day, Thabo, all of these schools are able to demonstrate through the litmus test of matric that their kids can also pass matric. Can I give you an example, Thabo?
Feel free.
Just to help you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
You see, Thabo, it's like this. It's like you saying to all of us, we must move from Durban to Pietermaritzburg. And the goal is to reach Pietermaritzburg, right?
Yes.
Don't tell me how I must reach Pietermaritzburg as long as I'm able to demonstrate that I've reached Pietermaritzburg.
But there may be danger along a route that you are taking, and therefore you are going to delay everyone else. And I think that example is appropriate in this instance, simply because...
Again, your question is premised on the same thinking of government, that every child must achieve the same level at the same time. No, we are different. We are individuals.
No, but can't you express that there are many private schools that adhere to the NCS, yet they add some learning areas and they would modify here and there, but generally they are within what the department wants with NCS and CAPS. There are many private schools. I think you know that far better than me, right?
Double. That's where even government gets it wrong.
Yeah.
You cannot just use the government curriculum and sprinkle a little bit of Waldorf, a little bit of Montessori, a little bit of ACE. No, we have a particular methodology. For example, ACE, it is individualized, right? Self-paced and mastery-based. And our learners have to pass each module at 80%. For them to move to the next grade, 80%. And we're saying, these are the standards we have set, and this is the curriculum we have, and we want to follow it the way we have had it over the years. And there's been no problem with our kids passing matric. Same thing with Waldorf. Waldorf schools have demonstrated time and again that they are one of the best in the school. I mean, in the country, in terms of having their learners master content in the methodology and philosophy that they follow, And at the end of the matric year, they are able to demonstrate that they can pass the matric.
Mr. Mtembo?
Why do you want to change that? Why? 28 years we've been doing this.
Yeah. Listen, I want us to have a very long conversation in the future, but sadly, I must leave this one here. I thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. I think it's an important issue. We must explore it a little bit later on. But thanks for your time. Mr. Mandla Mtembu is Deputy Chairman of the National Alliance of Independent Schools. Elijah Mhlanga will join us a little bit later on, actually just after the break.
Add your voice.
Have your say.
Let's walk the talk.
Thabo Shole Mashaw standing in for Clement Manyathela, 12 to 11, continuing with the subject of education. Independent schools are angry over a legal opinion that seems to suggest that what they are teaching should be in line with NCS. And we've just spoken to a representative, Mr. Mandla Mtembu, from the Independent Schools, National Independent Schools Association. Now we are joined by the spokesperson for the Department of Basic Education, Elijah Mhlanga. Mr. Mhlanga, I appreciate your time. Thank you and welcome to 702.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. You might have heard perhaps the tail end of the conversation that we've had with Mandla Mtembu of NAISA. And he says that the legal opinion is not necessarily premised on the basic rights that the schools and the children, including the parents, should enjoy. You want to dictate to them what they ought to be teaching. And amongst others, he highlights that their pass mark is required to be at 80%, which makes the learners that they have to be more competent than your learners. What is really the issue here? The legal opinion that has been passed, what is it premised on?
Well, Tavo, you know, I got the tail end of the discussion, and we don't believe that we need to be adversarial on this matter. We need to continue to talk about it. It's an important one. It's got to do with curriculum and minimum standards, which the minister has the responsibility to determine for the country. So that has been done, and we are saying that we are finding that some schools are not fully aligned with that curriculum that the minister has, whose minimum standards the minister has put in place. And we are saying to them, it's important that we all work on the basis of the same understanding. We also find it interesting that some of the schools that are not complying or at the GET ban, which is General Education and Training ban, they actually fully comply at FET ban, which is grade 10 to 12.
Mm.
So you can see that there is a desire to be fully aligned with the National Curriculum Statement, but there are some variations that they are making somewhere. So there's no need to be accusing each other. We should just talk about these things. And that's the approach from the department. That's why we thought to obtain a legal opinion to give us direction in terms of what we should do at the moment.
Yeah, and in that legal opinion, and I appreciate the fact that you do not want to be accusatory to anyone and be adversarial. And in that line, perhaps you may want to share with us what is it, what are your hesitations regarding the Montessori and the ACE curriculum as it is currently presented in classrooms. Any aspects thereof that really contradict those of the NCS and CAMS?
Well, it's not really contradiction. It's people throwing in their own approach to teaching, which is not aligned with CAMS and NCS.
Like what? Please guide us. Like what?
Well, you find that some schools have certain beliefs. I won't go into the details because I don't want any particular organization saying that we are attacking them or anything like
that. Sure, but would like to understand a little bit better, you see, so that at least you take all of us on the same journey and we don't throw the spears unnecessarily to one another.
Yeah, there are certain beliefs that certain organizations believe in, which they feel their learners should be exposed to. And yet we feel that the curriculum should be open, should be able to equip our learners with skills. It shouldn't prejudice them or it shouldn't indoctrinate them towards a certain direction. in a country as open as this one. That's why we believe that the curriculum that we are implementing in the public schooling system offers that. It gives learners an opportunity to learn across different backgrounds and different histories of people and understanding where they are coming from, not really pushing them to adopt a certain position about how they view life.
Mm. Is it heavily laced with Christian fundamentalism?
Well, I wouldn't say maybe it's Christian fundamentalism, because it's not just that. There are other things as well. Yeah, but we could use that as an example for purposes of this discussion.
Yeah. No, Elijah, I'm genuinely trying to understand, and I'm not being nasty at all. As you may know, I'm heavily interested in education, and it's one of my favorite subjects. So I'm genuinely trying to understand that, where are your hesitations in this? And one of them, which I picked up from the piece that was out there, was that if it's not aligned to NQF, it obviously creates a professional problem for the kids who may want then to enter tertiary education or different fields. That is completely understandable. I'm trying to understand, what else is it that you are so opposed, maybe not so opposed to, but that you are cautious of?
Well, it's where or how far other people could go in terms of utilizing the gap that is there, that has been opened by those that were found to be non-compliant, because it starts with a small gap, which then people can abuse for other things. When we are in a democratic dispensation where we don't feel that people should be forced into a particular direction, when we could just open the playing field and allow the learners to make their own decisions. The curriculum encourages critical analysis. It says understand where you are and your role in society. But also, we are not just growing people that must hold certain beliefs. We want young people who will understand that they live in a diverse environment where there will be no prejudices that they carry into their own life. So it seems there is recognition from these organizations, because, as I said, when you get to grade 10, 11, and 12, they are fully aligned, because they understand that it's time to now prepare the learner for tertiary institution, which is based on what public education has at FET band. So you can see that, because there's a gap at GET, and people try to do whatever they want to do there and then come back to full alignment,
sure,
which is something that we don't want.
You'd also appreciate that the parents take their children there very much cognizant of those biases that may exist. And I'm calling them biases just to be consistent to your argument. But the parents, when they take the children there, they are much aware of the content that is distributed in the classrooms. They are quite aware of a certain ethos that a school would be concentrating on and giving attention more than other. So in that way, isn't it then somehow undermining of parents' choices in that regard? Because when you take a child to a school, you know what you're trying to do, especially those schools, and many of them, not all, you pay quite a lot of money, so there's no way you would want to throw your money in the water whilst you disagree with the basic ethos of the school.
Yeah, the challenge right now, we are in a space where the law has given the minister the power to determine what should be the minimum curriculum standards. And because that law is in full effect, it means that at some point, this very society agreed that what is in place is what was good for the country. So if things have moved and we wish to change, let's talk about it. We are in the process now of changing legislation governing basic education in all respects. So this is the opportunity for us to then bring that conversation in and say, can we also attend to this particular one? And then we will deal with it in that forum of amendments, rather than find a hole somewhere and you quietly go do something. So we are saying right now we are not going to say any school must close. We'll work with our stakeholders. We are dealing with the matter. We are open to engage, because it's not something that you can suddenly make a decision on and act immediately. You really need to understand that education works in gradual terms. You discuss, you prepare the system for any changes that should take place, to give people time, to see their own pulse, bring their own input, and then we agree on the way forward.
So it is not as Umalusi spokesperson Vicky Lipota has been quoted here, where it also say, where the quote says, as I read, a school that is not accredited will not be able to register learners for the NCS exams. The provisional education departments which register schools should withdraw registration status of the schools in question.
Well, from that technical perspective, he is correct as well, because he's looking at what the provisions are saying at the moment in terms of what should technically take place. But we also need to be cognizant that we are affecting people's lives here. So we can't make decisions that are going to impact people negatively as if we're not aware of the reality on the ground. So that's why we are saying, let's talk about it and agree on what you're going to do. Yes, the regulations are there, but just because a school does not comply, you are not going to shut it down today, because tomorrow those learners will need a place to go to, and they won't have any place to go to. The teachers will need employment.
Fantastic.
So we are human as well. We also need to consider these things while we are applying the law.
Yeah, Elijah, we'll have to leave it at that. I wish we had an hour to deal with this. Really appreciate your time. As usual, thanks for coming through.
Thanks.
Elijah Mhlanga is the Department of Basic Education spokesperson.